Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please. Our readings today reminded me this week of an image from the cartoonist David Hayward. The name of the cartoon is The Jesus Eraser, and you can find it online, and there are also some printed copies at the back of the church if you'd like to take a photo of it or take one with you. In this cartoon, there are all of these cartoon people, and each person has a giant pencil. And each person is using their pencil to draw a box around themselves, creating barriers and lines so that they can be separate from all the other people who are also drawing their own boxes. And Jesus is in the cartoon too, and he also has a big pencil, but his pencil is turned upside down, because Jesus is using his pencil to erase the lines that the people are drawing around and between themselves. Jesus gives the disciples a new commandment in our gospel from John, to love one another. When we human beings get too sure about who deserves our love, when we get too sure about who deserves God's love, when we start to draw lines to try to keep our love or God's love in particular boxes or communities or countries, Jesus is there working to erase those lines out of love. And the love Jesus is talking about here, it's not a fluffy, romantic abstract. The love Jesus is talking about breaks down barriers. It mends divisions. It destroys evil. It seeks truth and justice. This love is life-changing. It is resurrecting. It's the kind of love that's present in our psalm of praise this morning, Psalm 148. A love that breaks down barriers between humans and animals. A love that erases lines between heavenly and earthly bodies. A love that calls the entire universe to sing God's praise. To praise God who loves all peoples, all creatures, all of creation. This unifying love is in our reading from the Revelation to John. A text that envisions the erasure of the line between heaven and earth and links itself with the First Testament of the Hebrew Scriptures by quoting and paraphrasing the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel, revealing God who lives among us, who comforts us, revealing Jesus as the great eraser of barriers, even the barrier of time, Jesus who makes all things new, Jesus who is the beginning, the end, the Alpha and Omega, Jesus who gives life-giving water to all who are thirsty. And it is this kind of life-changing love that God shows to Peter and the other disciples in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, this is just one of many wild and wonderful stories from the book of Acts. And it's actually a story that's told twice in a row. So if you are drawn to the story or interested in it, I recommend that you go back to your Bibles and read Acts chapter 10, which actually tells the story. What we heard read this morning is from chapter 11, which is Peter retelling the story. So it's that good. It's included twice. So I'm going to include a few details in here that weren't in our reading this morning, but that's because they're from chapter 10. Okay. A little context. At this point in the story, it's very early on in the disciples' ministry. It's after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. And it's important to remember that at this point, there are no Christians as we understand the term today. There are Jewish followers of Jesus, and there are Gentile followers of Jesus. And there's also no church as we understand it today. That comes centuries later, after Constantine. The There's no church, but there are these small communities of Gentile and Jewish Jesus followers. And these communities, they're starting to pop up in different places. And so Jesus' disciples are trying to decide who can be a follower of Jesus, who can receive the Holy Spirit. They're trying to decide who is out and who is in. In the language of our cartoon, they're drawing a box. And for them at this point, they think that inside this box are only people who are Jewish, like Jesus was, and like they are. So they're thinking that if someone wants to follow Jesus and receive the Spirit, they think that person at this point would need to convert, follow Jewish law, including dietary restrictions, and if they are male, become circumcised. That's the context of the story. That's the box that Peter and the disciples are trying to draw. But here comes God, here comes Jesus and the Holy Spirit to break open this box. So first there's this heavenly message that comes to Peter in a vision, a voice telling him that foods that are restricted under the law have been made clean by God and challenging Peter to eat them. Now, we need to be careful about how we read and interpret this part of the story. This vision is not telling Peter to abolish the Jewish law or to stop practicing the law, which is an integral part of Peter's life as a Jewish person and an important and loving way of life that honors the Jewish people's special covenant and relationship with God. The heavenly voice and vision do ask Peter to not be rigid about the lines he is drawing for himself and for others with regard to the law. And this matches Jesus' own teachings. Remember, Jesus is a faithful Jewish person, and he teaches again and again that being rigid and drawing lines and boxes is not the way. For example, we might remember the gospel stories of Jesus healing people on the Sabbath day. And remember, Jesus is criticized for this by the religious officials. And he responds that God made the gift of the Sabbath for humans. God did not make humans to fit into a rigid idea of Sabbath. So again, Jesus is always challenging these lines that we as humans want to draw. He's challenging these boundaries that we try to impose around what it means to love God, what it means to love our neighbors. Back to our story. So this vision that Peter has, it opens his heart up to receive three Gentiles. And we know from the chapter before that this is Cornelius and a household member and one of Cornelius's servants. And Cornelius is a Roman centurion. He's a soldier in the Roman army. They themselves have received an angelic vision that has sent them to Peter to ask him to come to their house and deliver to them this message of salvation. And then the Holy Spirit, who is also always all about erasing lines, speaks to Peter and tells him to go with Cornelius to his household and tells him not to make a distinction between the Gentiles and the Jewish disciples. Not to make a distinction. There's the erasing of the line. And so Peter goes with Cornelius to his house, and he shares the good news of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes upon Cornelius and the members of his household, and they begin to speak in tongues, and the Spirit is erasing the lines that Peter and the disciples have been trying to draw, and Peter sees that Cornelius and his household have been baptized by the Spirit, and so he baptizes them with water. And there is no one outside the lines. God's love and salvation are available to all. This kind of erasing of lines is what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote to the community in Galatia, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus." breaking this habit of drawing boxes around ourselves and sitting comfortably inside them, it's hard. It's hard work. Loving one another as Jesus commands is not easy. Allowing Jesus to erase the lines between us and then stepping across the eraser shavings, to be open-handed and open-hearted with one another, to be forgiving and gracious and merciful, to love one another, this is not easy work. Where are the rigid lines we see around us today? Where are the boxes? Where do we see Jesus's eraser at work? Where do we need Jesus's eraser in our lives, in our institutions and communities, in our country, in our world? Here at Grace, we pray almost every week in our prayers of the people for the separation of families at the borders of this country. And really, we can expand this to think about the separations and harm and hurt and tragedy that happen across many different borders in our world. Today, especially, we might be thinking of the borders of Ukraine. Borders are these arbitrary lines, boxes, that we humans have drawn around ourselves to make nations. So here's a present-day image of where Jesus is at work trying to heal the hurt that occurs at our borders. There's a church service that has been held every Sunday for more than a decade at the border wall between San Diego and Tijuana. And there are two wonderful articles online in the Christian Century that describe the experience of attending this church. They're by Alejandra Oliva and Amy Frycombe, so I commend those to you. Worshippers stand on both sides of the wall, some on the Mexican side and some on the United States side, each with a different pastor, separate and together. They sing. They pray. They call the Holy Spirit down to consecrate bread on this human-created line, this border, this U.S.-Mexican border that Chicana scholar Gloria Anzaldúa names as a wound. The worshipers used to share the bread literally across the border, through the fence. But now rules and the way the wall has been constructed will not allow this. But there are very small holes in the wall. And so the worshipers at the border church put their pinkies through the holes to share God's peace with one another. Jesus, present here, in this gesture of love and connection, at the border church, week after week, Jesus embodies the grief and reality of the boxes, the lines that we draw in our lives, and God's desire to break them down so that we might truly love one another. As we come to Holy Communion today, we might, in our open hands, offer up to God the lines and boxes in our own lives, in our world. We might ask Jesus to help us erase them, that we might follow Jesus, empowered by his love and grace, to turn over our own pencils, to join him in erasing the lines between us, so that we might really see one another, so that we might really love one another. Amen.